Two American aid workers who contracted Ebola in West Africa are being airlifted to the United States for treatment. Soon after that news broke, social media sites exploded with people expressing fears that it could spread here in the U.S.
The Ebola outbreak in West Africa is the deadliest on record. According to the World Health Organization, more than 1,300 people in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone have contracted the disease since March. More than half of them have died. So, should we be worried about an Ebola outbreak here in the U.S.?
With us now is Donald Francis, epidemiologist with Global Solutions for Infectious Diseases, a nonprofit global health organization. He was part of a World Health Organization team sent to inspect the first ever Ebola outbreak in 1976. Dr. Francis, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, can you tell us about your first encounter with the Ebola virus in 1976? What struck you the most about this disease?
Well, for someone who's kind of started my career getting into dangerous bugs accidentally, and this one got your attention very, very quickly in terms of the extreme mortality of it. We didn't know at that time exactly the transmission. We had to figure out all the transmission and interview all the survivors and the family members to figure out how it was transmitted. Which, for anyone working there, you want to know how to transmit it so you can protect yourself. So in the meantime, you're in these, monkey suits with your respirators and in the heat of tropical Africa trying to figure out, by interviewing patients and survivors, exactly how they got their disease. And it very rapidly, you see, that it was very, very close contact. It was not airborne or aerosol, but it was... the downside is when you did get it, the disease was really very, very severe. Depending on what outbreak you've then and subsequently, somewhere between 50% and 80% mortality.
And what makes it so severe?
The bug, probably because it's not been selected out for humans. It's not a human bug, and those kind of things get adjusted as the eons go by. Because that's when it essentially kills all the hosts, and that's not a very good parasite. Your parasite wants to keep the host alive for a while so it can replicate and go elsewhere. But this one probably does that in bats, and they're very well adjusted. But when they get to any larger animal, it just kills them all.
Well, now we've got this Ebola outbreak in West Africa, the largest ever. Why did this one spread so quickly as compared to ones we've seen in the past?
Well, that we really have to determine, but I suspect is that this is an area where it had Ebola before, and always in the first, much like since I was on the first outbreak, it just kind of cruises on. You don't really recognize it as being as dangerous as it is until it gets way out of control, gets into hospitals and spreads in hospitals or close contact quarters with people, and so it's. Not recognized, and so people don't run for the bush, and you get more and more cases, and then you have funerals, and people wash the body, and then they get infected from the virus outside the body, and so it goes on and on and on. And then the next years you get it, far fewer, because humans get educated about it.
Well, today the news broke that there are two American aid workers who have Ebola. They apparently were sick in West Africa, took a turn for the worse, and the powers that be decided to airlift them back to the United States for treatment. And with that news, social media erupted. People's fears about this virus also erupted along with it. How concerned should we here in the United States be about an Ebola outbreak?
Well, usually these things take care of themselves very quickly because they're... if you compare this with HIV, it's totally different. Here you have HIV, which is indeed has a higher mortality than Ebola, but it's got a long, long incubation period where it's silent. Ebola's got a short incubation, so you see the cases very quickly, and so it essentially the fire burns out very quickly. And so you know where it is, you can see where it is. It's not this underground, hidden outbreak of other kind of diseases like HIV.
Well, how does Ebola spread?
It has high replication in the body, and especially in any parts of the organs of the body where it's replicating primarily in the liver, and so it gets very, very high concentrations in the blood and oozes out through your normal orifices, but also any time it goes very long, then you start having this blood oozing from everywhere. And there's really thousands and thousands of viral particles per drop of blood, and so it just gets lots of virus, gets out, and then people get it on their hands or get it in a cut and probably put it in their eyes or scratch themselves. The skin is probably pretty good at protecting, but any opening in the skin, any scratch, or getting into your oral or other mucous membranes, it'll start replicating.
Right. From what I've read, we should be less concerned about this because it does spread from, as you say, bodily fluids. It's not something where it's as an aerosol transmission, so that makes it less worrisome to people. Do you agree with that? Are fears unfounded that we need to be worried about, you know, it running rampant?
No, it's the dangers when you get into, you know, situations where it... we're using sharp instruments and such in hospitals, and that in the laboratory in the hospital, people with needles and syringes, on any mistake like that. Indeed, in the work that I've been involved in, some of the very, very good laboratory workers slipped and poked their glove with a needle, and that'll do it. And you can get very, very sick. So for the average person, this is not something that is going to spread wildly.
Now, as we've said, Ebola has a very high mortality rate, but not everyone dies from this virus. Do we know why the people who are surviving are surviving?
No, at least I don't. We tried to figure some of that out, but some people have, like I think any infectious disease, that some people just replicate so much better, and you get more and more virus there. And that's true of all diseases, actually. The thing, Ebola is shocking because so many people do die, whereas most of the diseases we deal with, a rare person dies, and some people don't even get any symptoms whatsoever. So it's a matter of how much virus is multiplying.
Is there a risk in bringing these two patients from Africa back to the United States, or is this something that people should just, you know, be quiet about and, I guess, compassionate about?
Well, this is the risk is trivial. This is about as high class isolation as you'll ever find. CDC has set up this exact system to do this, and indeed, it started when we all started going off in these epidemics of what are we going to do with any of the people you send off to investigate the outbreak, and who's going to take care of them. And so you had to get a system to be able to take care of them, and so these units are set up to do exactly that. And it's not the community that has to worry. It's the healthcare workers, and they're all trained to do this, but they have to be very, very careful taking care of these people.
But then I've seen headlines that seem to, you know, designed to induce fear, quotes like, Ebola is just a plane flight away. Is that scaremongering?
Well, I think if you look around the world, there's many, many viruses that are a plane flight away, and not to mention you've got HIV, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump from your doorstep. So we've got bugs around the world like that. We just have to use our brains and avoid them.
Unless I want to ask you about a possible vaccine, there is news that trials could begin in September. What do we know about a vaccine for Ebola?
I mean, they've been playing with doing experiments with Ebola vaccine for years, and I'm not. No, they're talking about actually doing some human trials, but I'm not familiar of how far along it is. And I've worked on vaccines for years and years, and they take time. And they're not. And how do you do a trial for an Ebola vaccine except in a monkey that you can challenge? Because you're not going to get any human volunteers to take the vaccine and then be challenged with the virus to see if they're protected. And you don't have enough people to do a large trial in West Africa because there's not enough disease to test it. So it's a challenge.
So this is not, as you see it, a quick silver bullet?
No, no.
Any advice you would give people who are traveling? Is there anything people need to do differently or just maybe calm down?
No, not really. I mean, I think these are very isolated situations where they get in hospitals or into funerals or into families, and the odds of people getting involved in that, unless you're a healthcare worker, who is exactly what we're talking about, people flying in are healthcare workers, and they get exposed in the hospitals. And if they're there, the interesting thing from an ethical standpoint is that those people are there, and when you're a doctor, you have to take care of them, as I had to do with the Ebola patients in Sudan. And you that's your job. And sometimes, sometimes you have high risk of infection, and that's what we have here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Not the general population.
Great.
Sure, my pleasure.
That was Donald Francis, epidemiologist with Global Solutions for Infectious Diseases. He was part of a World Health Organization team sent to inspect the first ever Ebola outbreak in 1976.